Ian Bessarabi joining us in a studio. Ian, a very, very good morning.
Good morning, Howard.
This is appalling, isn't it?
No, this is shocking. How the music's supposed to improve in the last hour.
I know. Not a good start. That's what you say. You always say that, but now you've jinxed it. You know, and I was going to play Prime Circle, and I thought, you know what? I should have. Or I should have just played something decent in German.
Exactly.
You know, for our listeners.
100%.
Yes. 34519 or 0618951019. A very good morning to you. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9, Chai FM. So, Dov says, wow, very progressive music for you, Howard. Super cool, though, but I'm not sure it's for everyone. That's from Dov. Certainly it's not for me. I think it's awful. And San says, what is that noise? Well, that is noise made by Camel Fat and Elderbrook. So, I don't know what else to say. I don't know. I've got no words for something like that. And Clive says, Martin Luther King said, I look to a day when people will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the contents of their character. He died today in history, didn't he?
Who's that?
So Nutty? Oh, no, it wasn't Martin. No, Martin Luther King was the other day.
Yes, George
Orwell died today. In fact, I always keep Martin Luther King. We've got his, his famous speech, which is just something that we should all be listening to time and time again. And indeed, it is something that we should all live by and strive for. All right, Ian Bessarabi joining us in studio. Ian, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And how are you, Howard?
Excellent. Thank you for asking. Today we are talking about working from home.
Yeah, it's
becoming more of a thing, or has it been becoming a thing for some time?
So I think working from home has developed a bit of a stigma. So they've kind of rebranded it. It's working remotely.
Mm.
So that's the new thing. So now if you want to...
Oh, you don't work from home.
No, you work from home. You work remotely. And
right.
Working remotely kind of, I think it alleviates some of the concerns of some managers who are very managerial.
Managers, aka micromanagers.
Uh-huh. And I think on a serious note, there's a lot of concerns about, and it's a trust issue. To be very honest, there's a trust issue of people working outside of a formal place of work.
Mm.
And let me put it out there, and I'd love listeners to let us know what you're thinking, because working remotely or working from home, whatever you want to call it, is not for everyone. And I think that is another misconception. So the one thing is that on the one hand, people that can work remotely or can work from home should be allowed to, but the same should apply for people that feel comfortable working in an office space, do not feel comfortable working independently. To be honest, people that actually, it's quite interesting that some people who work together are more productive, even if they're not working on the same thing. So people that are genuinely lonely or find it very lonely should be given the opportunity to have a workspace to come to or a place to associate with. So there's a lot of debate on either side.
Yeah,
but I think the micromanagers, amongst many who do have valid concerns because their productivity, if they don't implement the right metrics, and that can be a problem, a lot of them feel that if their staff are working remotely as opposed to working from home, it gives them a nice warm feeling. Now, working remotely could be seeing clients, going out the whole day and seeing clients, but not necessarily having to come and check into the office and then go out on your day and then come back. There was like the typical rep mentality. Mm. If you think about reps, they used to come in, get their packs of clients and files that they were going to go see, go out for the day, and then they'd come back in the evening and hand it to the typing pool or hand it there.
Right,
so that
right.
old mindset has to change. And if you look at, I know you follow Business Insider, there's kind of a sister publication called Market Insider.
Mm.
Market Insider has predicted that 50% of the US workforce will be remote by this year, by 2020. And most of those people are in the upper age bracket, 45 and up. So it's very interesting.
It is interesting.
Those stats, yeah.
You know, it was also very relevant, I think, is the fact that you've got, people have different styles.
Yes.
So, and we often talk about this, and I often talk about it to people, and they say, well, I need complete silence in order to sit down and write something or work on something or prepare a proposal. And others, actually like me, like noise. I'm very, very happy to sit in a place where there's a lot going on, mm-hmm. as long as I'm not being disturbed, obviously. I like things going on. It helps me to work better. So for me, I can't work in complete silence. I get distracted by the silence. Mm.
And that's interesting because earlier I heard you saying that you're ADD
mm.
and you thrive on multitasking. And right. multitasking means that you need different stimuli to keep you on,
yes.
on form.
Yes.
And that's why, and I've mentioned this previously on the show, is that that's why shared working spaces have become so popular.
Mm. Mm.
Is not only, and that was the kind of initial selling point. And for those of you that are not sure what we're talking about, shared workspaces, these are typical, in the old days, we used to call them like rented office space, where the whole selling point was economies of scale. Well, you didn't have to pay for everything and that. But now they're like literally the upgrade of coffee shops. Mm. And they've become mm. like these formal places where you can sign up a membership and you can become part of a workspace. And you have all the amenities. But the most important thing, which people overlook, is the community. And that community means different things. So for your point, Howard, is that sitting around people, even though you may be working on completely different things.
People energize me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. Zanati, do you get energized
Ooh,
around people?
I don't need people to energize me.
Oh, really? You self-energized.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think with me, I love the idea of working from home, but I've never worked in a position where I can.
Where you were able to.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's always been, when I was in corporate, it was always client-facing roles, mm. so I couldn't mm. be at home. Mm. And obviously radio,
yeah.
even though there are times like on New
Year's Radio's Day. A very different medium. It's a very strange medium because yeah. you're working with thousands of people every minute that you're on air, but they're not in front of you, and you don't always know what their reaction is, you know. It's, but yet, interestingly enough, I do thrive on the energy of our listeners
yeah.
because you feel that coming back. And often I'll say to somebody when we have an interview, and it's quite a strange thing, that even if you don't get a lot of particular interaction around that subject, I still have the sense, I know that people are you know, honest about it. Even yeah. not honest about it, people are enjoying it and they're engaging.
Yeah. And Howard, that's a very valid point, and it's so interesting that you mention that, is that we often, and once again, I'm a very big fan of metrics and debunking the metrics. You know, I always hate these quotes that always get attributed to Albert Einstein because I don't think they are, but it just sounds good to put his name at the end of it. But there's one that talks about if you measure a fish by its ability to climb a tree, you'll be very disappointed. And the same is true if you measured the impact that your show or what's happening by the amount of people that actually comment. It's not a fair measurement. And the reason for that is that people like to listen.
Mm,
people like to listen. And that's what radio, to a large degree, it's, as we say, it's theater of the mind. You know what I mean? It helps people to think. It's also, we discourage people from texting and driving. You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
So I feel quite guilty sometimes when I say to people, telegram us on or SMS us. And then I say, Zanati, tell us what's going on in the traffic, because we could be part of the reason for the problems. but that's the thing. If I walk out and I engage with people, whether it's at a family function or just in a coffee shop, and that people are talking, and that for me is the better measurement, is people are listening to the message. And that for me is what's nice about engaging.
Well,
and
Leslie says, yes. Go, Howard, go. Go, Howard, go. No, I don't think that's what I meant.
Okay.
I don't think it's that kind of enthusiasm.
No, sure, yeah. We just want you to go.
Yeah, Leslie, where do you want me to go? Good point. As Moshe says, this is so interesting. I mean, and it's so apt.
Mm.
Hi, when I tried working from home, I ended up in the kitchen most of the time. Must have been because the Wi-Fi was strongest there. Yes, I'm sure.
Okay.
Nothing to do with the fridge at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, like it's always, you know, if you can't afford an air conditioner, you just park yourself in front of the fridge, you know?
Mm.
But Moshe's got a very valid point, and I think this is something that I wanted to share with all our listeners, is that working from home, and I've done this for a year, so I can talk from a from a place of authority and a lot of lessons learned. First of all, it can be a very lonely place. And I've said that, initially you think, oh my word, this is all I've wanted. I've wanted my own space.
See, for me, it's great.
Yeah.
But, and it's so interesting because in every house that, we've lived in, I've always made sure to have a proper study.
Yes.
And I can tell you that what my study is a place to keep my books. It's never a place that I sit and work. And we're busy renovating now. And I haven't given myself a study. What I've done is we've created this open space and where there's a place for me, you know, to work with a library area, et cetera.
Yeah.
But because I very simply don't like working away from people.
It's so true. And I've got the same scenario in my workspace. I built myself an office, like a home office, which was separate from the house. So, it was kind of this physical and mental distraction from indication, I should say, not distraction, indication to my family that when I'm in my office, I'm at work. Because that's also boundaries are very important. Mm. But I found yesterday as an example, I sat at the, we've got this like table, this dining table outside on our patio by the pool.
Mm.
I sat there solid for 8 hours, not moving. And my kids came in, my wife came in, everyone, there was a lot of movement, but I never walked into my office one time. And that's the point about loneliness, is that it's great up until the point, but you need to make a plan to socialize. Like I'm going to visit someone in Bromfontein today, and I'm actually so excited. Like when people say, like, you're going to Bromfontein.
I'm getting out.
It's like,
it's also, you know, people get so excited about working at home. Mm. You know, you can literally walk around in your pajamas all day.
Yeah.
You know, for a short while that I was in that position, like, you know, and I was writing my book, so I could have woken up, carried on writing, etc. I can't take myself seriously if I'm not properly put together.
And I agree with that.
Let alone expect other people to take me seriously.
And I think that's you've led on to the second point. There's no one to tell you what to do, and that can be hugely, hugely difficult. Is because you can talk yourself out of any like. Some of the days it reminded me of school, you know, when you could think of a million things to do except study for exams.
Mm-hmm,
I'd be the same. I'd like be sitting in my office and I go, oh, I've got to put this document together. I've got to put this proposal. And I'm going, oh, but you know, the grass looked a bit long. Maybe I should just go investigate. And the next minute I'm doing the garden. You know?
That's the heart of desperation. To actually do the garden to avoid work. Sounds odd. Lindy says working from home requires so much discipline that, and I've had to learn that. I'm getting better. I set schedules, set alarms. When it's that set time, everything I have to get to work. I always feel so proud of myself after doing that.
That is, you know, Lindy has hit the nail on the head. You have to have a regular work schedule. So your point about, we can walk around in our pajamas and all of that, but you have to still think that you're working. So getting up in the morning, and I do this consciously, is I actually get up in the morning and take my kids to school.
So and you've got to get
I've
up
got to
and
get
then
up.
Your day
I've
begins.
I've got to get up. Right. I've got to get in the shower. I've got to treat it like it's any other day.
Mm.
And the benefit of that is you're in control of your time. And when I say you're in control of your time, you set your meeting. So for me, if it makes sense to get up, drop my kids, and then go and have all my meetings in the morning, I go and do that. And then I come home at lunchtime and I work the rest from the from home. You don't have to worry about traffic.
34519, that's the SMS line, or 0618951019. That's how you can telegram us. We're speaking about working from home. Have you had that experience? Does it work for you? Are you a business owner or manager? And do you let your staff spend some days at home working? I think it's a very, very interesting conversation and a very important discussion. As Ian says, more and more people and more companies are moving to not working from home. We call it remote. What do we call it? Remote working. Yes, a remote working. We spoke about personal optimization on Friday, Ian. I don't know if you know that.
No.
If you heard that. So apparently, and we can talk about it on this work slot, in Silicon Valley, men are opting for plastic surgery quite extensively.
Oh, okay.
Not only plastic surgery, but Botox, fillers, all sorts of things like that, in order to enhance their careers. But they don't call it plastic surgery. They call it personal optimization.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which I kind of like. You know, so why aren't you into that? I'm having a personal optimization day. Mm. I'm going to be personally optimized.
While you are working remotely.
While you're working remotely.
Do you think we could like kind of start personal optimization retreats?
Oh, yes.
I'm liking that.
How's that?
Oh, they must be them already.
Yeah, it must be. Like
yeah.
The old team building most, type things.
But most just people that I think that do, or many people that are personally optimized don't do it openly. In other words, they'll disappear for a few days to be optimized personally.
Yeah.
Ian Basarabi joining us in studio. We're talking the future of work. We're talking about remote working. Is there a rule? I mean, is there studies that show, it's not a rule, are there studies that show that, yes, it's good for companies, no, it's bad for companies, or is it all dependent on the very specifics of each situation?
So I'm not a big fan of statistics because statistics can kind of be skewed any way you want. But there's a lot more research being done.
All right, so don't follow career and actuary according to Ian. But all right.
No, I didn't say that, Howard.
I thought that's what you said.
Listen, Howard.
You just said actuaries are liars.
No, I didn't.
Is it Nati? What did I?
No. I'm not involved in this.
Listen, Howard, just don't distract from your other issues that you're dealing with now.
Okay, so
back to stats. So if we did look at some stats, is that there are indications, and this is surveys that have been done across the board, particularly in the US. I think the US is really ahead of the game here, and a lot of the stats come out there from there. So you just take it that it's coming out of a US market, not a South African market, but there's no reason this couldn't apply. So they say 40% of people feel the greatest benefit of remote work is the flexible schedule. So I think flexibility, and we've heard some of the listeners saying, it gives people time to choose. It takes discipline because you have to decide that if you want to get up, if you want to go and do bird watching at 7 o'clock in the morning, but you have to have a report in by 7:30, that means you've got to get up at 4 o'clock. Mm. If you want to go and watch your kid play rugby or cricket or go to ballet or be the schlepper, that means that literally from 12 to 3 or 12 to 4 or whatever that is, you can't have meetings. So you have to then plan around that. So flexibility is a benefit, but it comes with a huge amount of discipline. 16% of companies exclusively hire remote workers. So there's actually the opposite end of it where, and I've seen this with a lot of outsourcing companies. So there's a big move towards outsourcing and what we call another woke work, the gig economy. Is where people don't come onto your payroll, so you don't have to.
So you don't have the overheads.
You don't have the overheads. You don't have the, exactly.
Well, surely this remote working would be much more apt or much more appropriate in an area where the deliverables are measurable.
Yes.
In other words, if I have to produce a certain amount of written work each day or each week, then it would make no difference where I'm working. Absolutely. As long as that work is being delivered. But if I'm in an area where I'm managing people, obviously I need to be around those people for at least four days, maybe one day I can work at home.
Absolutely. And I think going back to the measurements, and as you say, it's got to be able to be measured. So if you think about it, the best way to measure people is by output. And that is becoming a strong word that's being used. So it's not about like, okay, Howard, you're going to be working 8 hours a day and you're going to be working X hours a month. I know in a lot of the discussions I'm having now, and as I was saying to you off air, it's very tough out there at the moment, is that people want value. They don't want you to sell them that I'll be at your beck and call 24 hours a day and you pay me a retainer. That doesn't work these days. People are giving task-based work and saying, listen, we need to put a marketing strategy together. We need a training intervention.
Right.
And that for me is where you can be very definitive in terms of what you're going to output and say, well, I'm going to be working. It doesn't matter how many hours I'm going to work on this, but this is what I'm going to produce. And that produces more productivity.
So what are the do's and don'ts around remote working?
So I think,
see how well we've adopted this language.
Remote work. I like it. So I think the key thing for me, what I suggest to listeners out there is you have to accept certain compromises or you've got to give up some things, you know. You have to accept that in the beginning, that there's, like I said earlier, there's not going to be no one to tell you what to do. As one of the listeners said, you need to accept that you're going to have to put your own schedule together. I think also one of the other things is in the beginning, when you start to work remotely, is you also need to accept that you are going to take on many titles. One could even be chief bottle washer, meaning that you have to do everything. You know,
well, yes. And I think just to add to that, I think it's important to have the discussion, if you are working at home, around expectations with regard to your family.
Absolutely.
You know, are you expected to sign off on the delivery of Aquazania, or if you just to use a random example that popped into my head for no, absolutely no real reason,
or they must have been in the area recently.
Yes, and you know, are you expected to pay the pick it up guy the bribe? In other words, or are you allowed, you know, just to take that extra dustpan that you know he should be taking because that's his job? But. Or are you saying, look, I'm working now. Yeah. Everything else that happens around is not my business for the next 3 hours.
And that's 100%. And that was what my, if I can call them guidelines, they're not rules, but guidelines are, is that if I'm not in the house, assume I'm not at home. Unless it's a crisis, you know, and yes, I'm not saying if the house starts burning down,
exactly.
don't ignore me.
You're prepared to phone.
There's compromises I'll make. I think the other thing is that if you want to be productive, you need to become the master of distraction avoidance. And distraction avoidance for me is there are so many things when you're not in a traditional, if I can call it a traditional office space, that will take you off course. And you need to zone out. You need to teach yourself to zone out from those things, prioritize and focus. And I think the biggest thing that everybody has to accept, that when things go wrong, there's no one to blame but you. And that's where the rubber hits the road, is because I can't turn around and say, sorry, Howard, I couldn't deliver your report because an undersea cable has been disconnected and I've had no internet. You need to make a plan.
Can I tell you?
Yes.
I'm going to read you an email. I won't tell you who I got it from, because that would be rude. But I've been chasing some work that needed to get done. And it reads as follows. I'm just trying to find it, because that's how spontaneous. This is just how spontaneous it is. Mm. Oh dear. Now, of course, now I can't find it. I'll find it in one moment.
While you're looking for that, Howard, the point about this is you need to put in your own contingencies. It's like Zanati, you can't say my alarm clock didn't go off.
You are the business.
You are the business
now.
You know, Howard was talking about the discussion he had with his daughter, and I love this.
So far, it's not working, by the way, that whole thing with his daughter.
Oh, is the Abby Inc. not? Oh, gee. There we go. Okay, all right. Well, let's assume.
We'll come back to that, though. We're not giving it up.
Hypothetically speaking, if Howard's intervention is working.
It's a genius idea, though.
No, it is. It's about accountability, and I think that's the big word that we all have to learn and embrace, is that we are accountable for our actions. It doesn't mean that we're going to like everything we have to do, or we're going to like having to make sure that we've got a generator where we are, if we've got extra power banks, supplies, and all that.
Sorry, hi. Yeah. Apologies for the delay. We've had some technical issues with the undersea cable break and our data provider. We've had to make alternative arrangements, which has delayed some comms and outputs. Rubbish.
Wow.
No, and Howard, can I tell you?
And funny, I got that early this morning and I rolled my eyes when I saw that.
Because those excuses just don't fly. There are ways and means. You know, you can find alternatives. And there are alternatives. There's simple alternatives.
Is there anybody really that you've come across? In fact, we're going to talk to Stephen Ambrose about this. Yeah. But yes, we might have had breaks and it might have been a bit slow and up and down. But certainly no one, I haven't heard anywhere, or I guess you can't hear it on social media if they don't have internet, but we're not hearing that people are completely without internet.
So the thing is we literally find alternatives. So you're right. We get on with it. And the fact is we wouldn't be broadcasting today.
Exactly.
And we wouldn't have all our lines into our correspondence if we didn't have an alternative. So
Absolutely right. It is 8:41. We're going to continue that conversation after we've spoken to Stephen Ambrose, where we are going to also focus on the undersea cables. Dion Basarabi joining us in the studio every Tuesday. We're talking about the future of work. We're talking about remote working, working remotely. It used to be known as working from home, but don't say that because people will think you're not woke.
Yes.
So do's and don'ts. Summary.
So I think the key message to leave with you is that remote working is real. It's not just fancy and it's not for the privileged few. Mm. And to add another word or another term into our glossary,
lexicon,
there you go, is what they're now calling the remote work economy. And the remote work economy.
There's too many new words, and I'm not coping.
Too many.
Okay, it's like a whole new language.
Exactly.
The remote working economy.
Remote work economy. And
remote
what,
work economy.
So this remote work economy comes out of actually a World Economic Forum report, something that was conducted by Harvard. So this has got a lot of gravitas to it. It's not just one of these websites doing a bit of an editorial. And what they're saying, and I think this is very relevant to what a lot of our listeners and our community are going through, is that the job market is tough, and I've heard this from a lot of people. I'm experiencing it myself. The value of remote working, especially if you're freelancing, if you're independent, you have the opportunity to take on more projects, initiatives, roles, and as Stephen Ambrose was saying, is that we get by. You know, when there's technology issues, we find an alternate. You know, I know a lot of people that if their internet goes down, they just hotspot onto their cell phones. You know, I think many of us have got little generators or, is it a battery of power banks? Is that the collective now?
Is it? I don't know.
A battery of power banks.
Could
I don't
be.
Know.
So they Could are, be.
It's another one for you to think about, huh? So I think we've all got a battery of power banks. And if that doesn't exist, I've just named it. Mm. We've all got the capabilities to be online. We manage to do that when we want to post pictures and when we want to send out messages. So why can't we do that when we want to be productive? So my message out there is explore it, but remember the accountability and responsibility that comes. You are your own boss. You are going to have to discipline yourself. You are going to have to take responsibility when things go wrong. So your point, Howard, is if you miss a deadline, you cannot blame the photocopier machine. You cannot blame.
I got stuck in my garage.
Absolutely.
The dog ate my homework.
Yeah, exactly. So those excuses just won't cut it anymore. Mm. And that's what people are expecting. They're expecting you to take the initiative. They're going to want you to come to their offices. You know,
you can't exactly have, a meeting in your kitchen.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can.
Depends. Depends what you've got in your fridge.
Exactly.
So the point.
Well, Moshe used to have stuff in the fridge. He doesn't anymore.
Yeah, Moshe,
when he worked from home, he just cleared that fridge out.
Yeah. And as I said, the most important thing for me is become the master of distraction avoidance. Make sure you make time to socialize, you make time to meet people, have coffee and that, but not when you're on a deadline for a proposal or because your work that you send out is going to be measured on the output, not on how much time you put into it.
Absolutely. It's a completely different measure. Michael says your UPS is a battery backup. Yes, but that's not what we're asking. We're asking, Michael, what the collective noun of batteries. It's a
of
bank.
Power, of power
it's,
banks.
It's a bank. It's
yeah,
a bank
of batteries. I think it's a bank, yeah.
So there we go. We've answered our own question. Ian Basarabi, very, very interesting. Before I let you go, do you recommend remote working?
I encourage it. And as I say, despite all the challenges, and there are many, I'm not going to...
Yes, but
I'm
the challenges
gonna, yeah,
in,
exactly.
in a workplace, driving not, to work, finding parking, the expense of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm not going to candy coat it anyway, but what I am going to say is that I don't miss getting stuck in traffic. I don't miss having to go to a place every day that I don't enjoy. You know, you have choice. And I say exercise that choice, and that's why I call it remote working. It's because maybe your home or your house is not the place you want to work. That doesn't mean you can't go and find a shared workspace. So,
or a
yes, to answer your question, exactly. So to answer your question, yes, I certainly think it's relevant and it's going to become more relevant.